So 2 Timothy chapter 2, let's go there. Try to have our concluding look here, verses 1 through 7 of chapter number 2. I don't think we've been long look at these in another, maybe another topic, but I didn't want to go through them. I do love these passages here and can really speak to us as we talk about passing the baton and communicating our faith to the next generation. I'm trying not to get focused just on like leadership and preaching because there's so much more. You know, when we talk about ministry, we may not all be called to preach or teach or something like that, but as we've heard many times, we're all teaching in some way in our life. And so we do want to set an example. And I don't want to make the mistake as a father, as a pastor, maybe someone that someone else is looking to for an example. We don't want to make the mistake that they're just getting it, you know, that our children are just getting it just by being around it through osmosis. It doesn't really, if we're not careful, we really need to make a pointed effort, you know, to communicate our faith, and especially to our young people. And not just assume, because there's so much pulling at our young people. There's so much pulling at the youth and even those that are in church. And so we just want to make an effort. You know, even we as a body, maybe as we think about going into our I guess our third year, really, of here ministering here. And then, you know, how can we do that? How can we as a body do that? Reach out to our young people and not just here, but, you know, to all the body of Christ, you know, working together to build up our faith, amen, to mature our believers, that we do rely on the Lord. And so that's really what Paul is trying to communicate to Timothy here in chapter 2, and really throughout the whole book here of 2 Timothy, is that of strength, to be strong. Be strong. We looked at that last week there in that first verse about being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We talked about how that grace is more than, you know, just unmerited favor in a sense. It's really the whole of the influence of God in our life when we talk about grace. And I don't think we looked at it this time, but I know we have in times past in reference to the Apostle Paul and how that, you know, the scripture talks about there in Corinthians that he had a thorn in his flesh and he sought the Lord three times and that it might be removed, and the Lord responded to him and said, "My strength is made perfect in your weakness." And so Paul says, "I will really glory or in my infirmities." Not the fact that we're supposed to go around and say, "Well, I'm just a weak Christian." But if the goal is, I heard it said this way, if the goal is dependence, then weakness is an advantage. You know, if the whole of Scripture is teaching us to lean not upon our own strength, but that we would be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, then when we realize our weaknesses, it's then that we are strong. And Paul said it this way: "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh to keep me from being exalted above measure." And in the end, it's the glory of God. But it's not that we're going around saying that we're weak, because we're instructed to be strong. As a matter of fact, Jesus told his disciples that you shall be endued with power from on high. He said that you would receive power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. So he's promised us power. He's instructed us to be strong. And that's what Paul is doing here with this young Timothy. He's saying, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And so we recognize, and we looked at that last week, we recognize our dependence on God. that it's Him that we receive our strength. And we want to remember that, no matter, you know, what we're doing in our life as far as our work for God. And we're kind of coming to a point here when we're talking about ministry. And we're going to look at some word pictures here this morning. We talked about them last time. And it's that of the teacher, of the soldier, the athlete, and the farmer. And Paul gives us a specific direction there on each one. But what it boils down to really is that we're to be strong and to lean upon God, that He has promised us power. He said, "Go tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." The word to be endued there means to be clothed with power. That's something not of ourself. We don't find it within ourselves. That's not where the answers lie. But it's that we find in Christ. It's that power that is given to us from on high, that we realize, we recognize our weakness, we realize our infirmities, and we realize that our strength comes from God. Amen. That we rely on Him for all things. I mean, when it comes right down to it, I mean, all things. You know, I guess it was the prophet Elijah that God basically led him into the wilderness by a brook, the brook Cherith, which I read one place there at some point where that book means to tear down or to cut down or to bring down the brook Cherith. And so He brings him there to that brook to where he has to rely on Him for everything, for water, for his food. And then the brook dries up and He moves him to another location, realizing that it's not the brook that was meeting his needs. Amen? Sometimes we get so caught up in the brooks. And in the end, it's God. I heard someone say one time, and I've tried to remember it in my own life, that, you know, even our jobs or whatever we had, it's just a brook that God has provided. And so don't get caught up on the brook, because the brook may dry up, but God does not change. Amen, that He is the same, and that He said, "I will never leave you, and I'll never forsake you, but I'll go with you always." And I know that to be true in my own life, that the brooks may come and they may go, but in the end, our strength comes from God. That we are given power, endued, clothed with power from on high. Strength. He says, "Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." I like it over there in the book of Joshua when Moses had died and there the children of Israel are standing there on the banks of the promised land and basically they have what they would consider probably be their one and only leader was gone. And God spoke to Joshua and said, "Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead, but I'm going to be with you." Man, He says, "Be strong and of courage." Be strong. And of much courage. It's going to take courage for them to possess the land. And so God was instructing Joshua, be strong and courageous. And that is what we are to be. I like what Paul says over in the Corinthian church of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. It may be worth a look there. Hold your place there in chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 13. He says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men. Be strong." Be strong. "Timothy, show thyself a man." That's what that means. To quit you like a man means to show yourself a man. When the man is identified much as, when you think of a man, he's identified as a protector. One that, you know, should be strong. And so, you know, I know this might not be politically correct today, but the fact is that Paul says, "Timothy, be a man. Man, show yourself a man. Be like a man." And a man, you know, when trouble rises, he's not to cower away and run in fear. Man, Shell and I have been married a few years. And every now and again, hadn't happened very often, but every once in a while, there'll be a noise, there'll go be a bump in the night. And there's been times when I had to get out of the bed and go find out what the noise was. I sometimes had a 40 cal in my hand, but anyway, that's a different story, but don't put that on the internet. But you know, we got to be strong. Now, I know that there's times that, you know, maybe I went this time, and next time there's a bump in the night, I don't nudge Shell and say, this is your time, you go. Wouldn't that be a foolish thing? Number one, she wouldn't go. But I'll go next time if it happens again. Why? Because we want to be strong. And so Paul's telling Timothy, he says, show yourself strong. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And I'm still kind of dealing with the men as we were last week because we saved it for so long. I promised you back in Father's Day, but the fact is we need men that will be strong in our day and not bullies. We're not talking about being a bully. We're just talking about being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We're talking about being courageous, and so often, and we looked at it Wednesday night, but I do think it's fitting here, and it spoke to me, and so let's go to Titus. We read it Wednesday night, but look at there, if you weren't here, Titus chapter 3, because just so you don't get the idea that when we're talking about being strong, we're talking about going around and flexing your muscles and being a he-man, but what we're talking about here is made plain here to Titus by the Apostle Paul. He says in chapter 3, verse 1, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. This is how we fight. We looked at it Wednesday night. This is how we fight the battle. We fight it in meekness. We fight it in gentleness. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Paul's just reminding them there, listen, your ministry, your work is done in strength, but that strength is demonstrated through meekness, through gentleness. Man, not a brawler. Remembering. God, help us to remember where we came from. Man, because such were some of you, but you've been washed. Man, and so we remember that when the world comes against you. See, you're not going to convince the world. Man, we just share Jesus. And so we want to be strong. Paul says in Ephesians 6, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Man, so let's go back to Timothy. I don't want to just leave you with the instruction of being strong, because I think Paul gives us some how-tos. Aren't you thankful for some how-tos? And he uses some examples. We looked at verse 2 last time, so we won't really get into that again about the teacher. It says, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach. So basically that good thing he talks about over there in verse 14 of chapter 1, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. You're keeping the truth that was committed unto you, but take that truth, and when you keep it, you also deposit it into the life of someone else, unto faithful men that's able to teach others also. So we as we share our faith, I believe, anybody ever experienced this in your own life, that when you really start to share your faith, it strengthens you? Man, it even makes you more strong, that giving it away to someone else strengthens you in your life. So we want to be strong. We want to, I guess, be obedient to this imperative that Paul gives us to be strong in the faith. But are we willing to put ourselves in a position to receive that strength? Saying, well, you mean there's something I got to do other than just being strong? Well, Paul gives us some examples here. He gives us some word pictures. I guess we'd call these metaphors. And he gives us the first one. He says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So the first one we've got here, this metaphor of a soldier. And then he says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So there's our first metaphor, that of a soldier. You're a soldier. Man, if you've surrendered your life to Christ, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're a disciple, and I use all those words on purpose, you're a soldier. You're in a battle. This is no game, right? We've come to fight a battle. And you're last time we looked at this, and I guess I still have them written off here to the side. And anybody else got them written over there? Anybody listen? Sister Peggy's got it there. Amen. Our motivation. What is our motivation? That we may please the one that called us to be a soldier. That's our motivation. Why do we want to walk obedient? To please God. Amen. Whatever we do, it's our desire that we would please the Lord. We endure hardness. He says it there in verse, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He tells them again, therefore, down in verse 9, he says, wherein I suffer trouble. That's the same word used there. Or he endures hardness as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. He says, I'm enduring hardness as I'm enduring trouble as an evildoer. But yet the word of God is not bound. In 4 and 5, he says it this way, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. A soldier. I don't know if you want to say you've enlisted or you've been drafted. There might be some theological discussion there. Did you volunteer or were you called? Amen. Either way, you're a soldier. I was listening to a guy preaching this week on it was on this passage, and he was talking about his dad, and he gave a true story. He says that he loved to hear his dad tell this story, how that when he was drafted into the military, or he had signed up maybe, that he had to report to this his station, which was happened to be in his hometown, and this was over in England or something, over in one of the European countries. And he said and he went there, and he went through the deal there during the day, and he got his uniform, and come late that evening, he decided he was ready to go home, so he starts to walk out the door, and the commander called him and says, Private, where are you going? He said, well, I'm going home to have my tea. He said, oh, no. He said, you're in the Army now. He said, you don't go home and have your tea. You don't get to leave anytime you feel. You're a soldier. Get back to your barracks. He said he used to love to hear his dad tell him that, but the fact is that when we're a soldier in the army of God, there's no time that we take leave, is it? There's no vacation. It's every day we serve the living God, and it's our desire to please the Lord, that we might please the one that's called us to be a soldier. Amen. It's our desire to please the Father. I often will give the girls a test every now and again, and I'll ask them a question, you know, why do you not do this? And it's not that, well, it's not a bad reason, because, you know, Mom and Dad doesn't want me to. But what I like to hear them say is because it wouldn't please the Lord. Man, I mean, not wanting Mom and Dad to be upset is a good reason, but even better reason for being obedient to the Word of God is that you might please the Father, that you might please the one that called you to serve. That's our motivation, that we might please our commander. It's our desire to please the Father. Listen how Paul tells us over in Galatians chapter number 1. Galatians 1 and 10, he says it this way. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Paul says, my main desire is not to be pleased men, but to please the Father. Amen. That I might please, that I am the servant of Christ. He says, look at how he says it over in 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 2. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Amen. It's our desire to please the Lord. Whatever you're doing for God, let your desire be to please the Father. He says, no man that warreth. If you're going out to war, you don't entangle himself with the affairs of this life, not to be entwined with. And that doesn't necessarily have to be an evil thing. Just the affairs of this life is, it's actually the word pragmatia. And so it doesn't necessarily mean evil, but it just means you don't get so entangled with things, with stuff, that our main desire is to please the Father. No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs, with just stuff. You know, you can get so loaded down with stuff. A lot of things pulling at our attention. Let us not forget our true calling. Amen. Not taking it back. I was reading this morning, and for some reason I thought about, it might not be a good application, but I was thinking about when I was a senior in high school, when, you know, my favorite sport was basketball. I loved basketball. And so, you know, I was going to play basketball in college, and I didn't. But I do remember, I mean, we went to camps, we prepared, and from the time I was the eighth grade, I remember the basketball coach come in, and, you know, we had some big guys in our class. They were 6'10", and so they were some, we had two guys particularly real tall, so they had some high hopes for us. And one thing we didn't have a point guard. And I wasn't short, you know, but to them I was kind of short. Well, I ended up, they said, well, I can handle the ball a little bit. And so they said, well, we're going to make him the point guard. And so that's what they prepared me for. I was going to be the point guard. From eighth grade on, that's why I was getting ready to lead that team. And finally my senior year come, the guy that was in front of me as a point guard had graduated. And, you know, I'd learned a lot under him, so I was ready. I mean, I was ready. I knew this was my team. I'm ready to go. And so practice started that year, and I didn't think I was, but apparently the fact that I was so confident in my own ability was apparent to the coach. And it was another guy that was with me. He was more of the shooter of the team. He was a very talented shooter. We called him the Iceman because he didn't miss. And apparently we were loafing. And it was one day after practice, and the coach comes and says, Keith, and the other guy, he says, I want to see y'all in the office after practice. I'm like, oh, cool. It's going to tell me how we're called to lead, and we're supposed to do all this, and I'm going to get a pep talk, and it's going to be great. And so we got in there, me and the other guy come in and said, oh, hey, you know, give a little dap, probably high five then. Dap's kind of a new thing. But anyway, high five, we're getting ready to get the, this is your team, I need you to lead it. He tore us up. I mean, he lit into us and basically said, if you think you're going to go through here half-heartedly and not putting forth the effort and you're just going to come in here, you're making a mistake. That's not the way it's going to be. And let me tell you what. After that, I was motivated to please the one that had called me to be the point guard. I didn't go through about it halfway anymore because I had it in my mind was, I just, I deserve this. Relying on my own self. It's our desire this morning that we would please the one that called us. That's our desire. Whatever we do, whatever your hand finds to do, the Bible says, do it with all your might. Amen. As unto the Lord. I like the way I was looking for this passage this morning. I found it over in Colossians chapter number 3. Listen, verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. Amen. Whatsoever you do. See, this is where you got to be careful when you're talking about ministry. Everybody says, well, I don't really serve in ministry. I'm a plumber, I'm an electrician, or I'm this or I'm that. And so maybe one day when I get to the point where I can quit my job. No, this is every day. Whatsoever you find to do. You know, this is not just for the preacher. This is for every one of us in here this morning. Whatsoever you find to do, he goes through it all. He says, if you're a husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church. You're a wife, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. If you're a servant, what's it say? Serve as unto the Lord. Not just before men. Not just what, you know, it just means when the boss is watching. But live your life, carom deo, before the face of God. Every day of our life. And so, that idea of a soldier that we might please. And then he goes from there and he talks about the athlete. And he says this about the athlete. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. How do we be strong in the Lord? And the grace that is in Christ Jesus, well, we live our lives to please the Father, the one that called us, and we strive lawfully, legitimately, to strive. It's the idea of like a competitive game. Paul uses this, I guess, athletics in many of his places. He talked about, one place talking about being a wrestler. Other places talks about being a boxer and a runner. But the basic rule is the same. It's this principle. You must obey the rules. We don't like rules, do we? Amen. I mean, it's thankful for rules. I try to teach my children this, is that, you know, the laws of God, the word of God, the instruction that we have of the Lord is not to keep us from good things, but to keep good things for us. Man, I know that sounds like a simple principle, but really it seems like, you know, a lot of people just don't get it. You know, God's not trying to, man, sin brings about destruction. There's no joy in it, but in the things of God, he says, no man is crowned, or those that strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully within the rules. Amen. That's our method. We strive according to the word of God. We work. In another place, I guess it's in Corinthians, Paul's talking again about the athlete, and he says it this way. He says that they're temperate in all things. Temperance, which means under control. We don't get out of control. As believers, you want to be strong in the Lord, keep yourself in control. We teach temperance. And then he says this last one, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Amen. What do I know about farming? Very little. But I do think it's a great example. I don't know. I know Christ used it in many of his parables and his teaching. The whole metaphor of a farmer and someone going forth and planting seed. I think it's a good reminder for us here in working together in the body of Christ, in the church, and then even individuals when we leave here, maybe you know, on our job or whatever, you know, all we can do is sow seed and be patient. I think there's a whole lot to do with patience with farming. What little bit I do know about it, it's a toil, it's work. There's a right time. I know I've said it before, but it seems like it's very critical there. You know, Shell likes to garden. Sometimes it's too much water. Sometimes it's not enough water. And so basically, you work. You got to get the weeds out. And so he says that the husbandman that laboreth, the working, hardworking farmer, must be first partaker of the fruits. Now, the way that's worded, there's a couple different ways that you could look at that. Paul uses that same, I guess, example when he's talking about him working, laboring, and that, you know, uses the scripture in the Old Testament, the ox that treadeth, you don't muzzle the ox that treadeth. And so, you know, in providing for him because he was working, but you know, maybe even beyond that this morning, when we think about our own life, if we're going to work, we've got to partake. I heard someone say it this way one time, and I really liked it. I try to remember it in my own life, is that before we can convince others, we must be convinced ourselves. Amen. I know it's it may be hard to imagine, but you know, there's even a lot of people behind pulpits that really don't believe what they're saying. There's a lot of preachers or people that would say, you know, they're ministers that aren't convinced themselves, and they've tried to water down the word of God. But Lord God, make us convinced of this. Before we can share it with others, we must partake ourselves. And I think last time we talked about this being our might. This is how we receive our strength. I was reading one time there, the words of Jesus, I guess it's when his disciples had brought some food to him, and I've never forgotten it. And they, Jesus said it this way. He says, "My meat is to do the will of the Father." Man, now in Scripture, when it talks about meat, often it just means our food. And so when we're talking about our strength, you want to be strong. We can find strength in our ministry. Man, we can be strong in the Lord when we're doing what we're called to do. When we're working, the hardworking farmer must be first partaker of the fruit. God help us to be convinced. Amen. Help us to know. Look what he says over in chapter 4. This is, I'm sure we'll look at this again, but look what Paul says, because I fought a good fight. I've finished my course or my race or my run. I have kept the faith, or he had kept that which was committed unto him. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all of them also that love his appearing. Amen. Paul was not striving and working for something that was corruptible, like the athlete that would strive for the wreath to be crowned upon his head. He said they do it for a corruptible prize, or for a prize that decays, rots, gets old. Let me tell you, what we're working for today does not wear out. Our treasure in heaven, in heavenly places, in the heavenlies. Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moth and rust can't corrupt, where thieves can't break through and steal. Amen. Aren't you thankful for the promises of God? My meat is to do the will of the Father. It takes patience. I was listening to, I didn't know at all this pastor in Farmville that just recently passed away. I never met him. Copeland's? Lee Copeland. I never knew him. But the great thing about Facebook is you can learn to know people pretty quickly. And their church had a, had a Facebook page. So I was just looking at it, and even when I seen the man's face, I didn't recognize him at all. But I was reading down through some of the things that had gone on in their church over the last few months, and they were preparing for a 40-year anniversary service, 40 years. And as I read that, and I don't know, it doesn't seem like, from what I could tell, that they ever really got to celebrate that. Do you know? They did. They had postponed it, I guess, maybe because that's when all that weather or stuff was taking on. But I just thought 40 years, 40 years of ministry, 40 years of working. And we're getting ready to go, 2 years? And I was like, wow. Do you know how much patience that takes? And as we started out on this study about passing the baton, one thing that we mentioned is that many of the struggles that Paul was warning Timothy about were common things that could take place in a ministry. And one of those, he says, listen, don't be strong. Don't be ashamed. Amen? And what did we say about being ashamed? It was the idea that you understood that what you were working for, you weren't going to be let down. That God was going to do what he said he was going to do. And for someone to work in the ministry for 40 years, and I know other people, I think of Brother Gary up in Prospect, a while, I don't know the year there. That's a long time. Don't you want people to look back in your life and say, he was faithful? Amen? Faithful. It is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. You can work and you can do and you can call yourself this and that and say, I've been preaching, I've been working for some years, but your life could just be scattered about by disappointments and unfaithfulness. You're not an example. Amen? But we need faithful men and women that will stand up and say, I want to be an example. And I want to pass my faith. I want to be as the soldier to please the one that called me. I want to be as that athlete that is temperate in all things and is not entangled about with just stuff, as that soldier that's going out to war. And then thirdly, the farmer. Patience. Amen. Patience. You have need of patience. Amen. Patience. Father, as we plant the seed, let's think. Look what he says, verse 7 there. He says, consider what I say. And the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Consider it. Comprehend it. That's not a word that's used very, I couldn't find it very much or very often here in the New Testament, but I know, especially in the Psalms, you find words like David using words like muse and to meditate, especially in Psalms 119, talking about meditating upon that word. And in a time that's so busy and so much to hold our attention, it's good sometimes just to get alone and meditate on the word, isn't it? I mean, to muse on it. Amen. To let God speak to us and say, Lord, am I living my life to please you? Is that my motivation? Amen. Is that where my strength is? To please the Father. Be strong in the Lord. We rely on him. He says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Father, give us the understanding. You know what we can do together? We can pray for one another. Amen. Pray for our leaders. Pray for the saints. Pray for the body of Christ. That we would all be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And that we'd be strengthened by his word. Amen. That his word would be in our heart. That we'd not give in to schemes and ideas and I guess trying to be creative, just simply let the Word of God bring forth its fruit. Amen. How many believe that God's able to do that? Amen. That if we will just plant the seed, that God will give the increase. Amen. Lord, you just help us to do what we're called to do, and Lord, you bring forth the fruit thereof. Amen. And in the end, they would see our good works and glorify the Father, which is in heaven. Because in the end, he's the one that deserves the glory, right? Not us. I think, you know, next week when we have our little dinner after church, we're going to use these little plates. And if I know us pretty well, they're probably going to be little plastic plates that you don't have to wash when you're done. You just take them and you just dispose of them, because it's on the plate that people want, not really the plate. Well, you know what God has said? He has put his treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power is of Christ and not of ourself. It's his strength, not ours. Man, not ours. We don't point people toward us and say, look how strong we are. We say, God's grace. Amen. It's because of him. He is our strength. Be strong in the Lord and in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word, God. Thank you for, Lord, these great examples that you've given us this morning. And it is our desire, Father, that we would please you with our life. That, Lord, whatever we do, whether it be here among the saints working together, or whether it be on our job, in our homes, with our husbands and wives, with our children, our employers, Father, all that we do it as unto you. And Lord, that all our actions, our words, Lord, would please you, Father. Let us not forget that we live before you at all times. Help us to endure hardness. God, help us to be temperate in all things. Help us to partake of the fruit ourselves. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet this morning, if you would, as we dismiss with a song.